Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. It is the season of Advent, a time of preparing for Christmas. And so we light our first Advent candle for the shepherds. You know, the ones out in the fields. Rarely celebrated, in fact, often overlooked. Emmanuel means God with us. And so often it is the people behind the scenes, out in the fields, who reveal God in the world. You know, like the volunteers, the ones who cook, the ones who clean, the ones who make sure that the flock is safe, bus drivers and police officers, firefighters, EMTs, nurses, doctors, technicians, the ones who restore electricity when the power goes out or plow the streets when the snow arrives, the friend or relative who's always there, quietly supportive, never judgmental, ready for your call, or more often, calling just when you need it. We give thanks for the shepherds in our lives. And if you are one of those shepherds, we thank you for the many ways that you quietly show us again and again that we are not alone. God is in the world and always with us.
Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown. Something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so, I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on, as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing. His hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete.
The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawn near." And then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, broken hearts, wounded hearts, strong hearts, passionate hearts, waiting hearts, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So I have a colleague who just a couple of days ago posted on social media to a group consisting of clergy, I quote, "Hypothetically, what happens when the members of a hypothetical congregation want the minister to include Frosty the Snowman and Jingle Bells in worship leading up to Christmas?" Wow. So not just the concern about keeping Christmas carols on hold until December 25th, but also about keeping secular silliness out of our holy worship time. Very important. And so to my colleague and others, well, I can only reply, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. What? It's in the scripture, right? You just heard it. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. As kids, a whole bunch of us were told, Santa's coming. Don't get into trouble. You'd better be good. He sees everything, and you won't get presents if you disappoint him. And now, well, you come to church, you connect online, and astonishingly, you know, if you really listen closely, you're being told, Jesus is coming. He knows everything, and you're going to be in trouble if you disappoint him. What do you think? It is what we heard in the scripture, right? I mean, everybody knows that Advent has this weird beginning, right? We read scary stories about the end of the world. We hear about Jesus, not the baby Jesus, you know, from all the Christmas cards and everything. No, the Jesus who's coming back any time now. And when he comes back, the world is going to end and we're all going to be sad. Unless we've been good and not naughty. Santa Claus is coming to town. So that's what it says? Yeah, that's pretty much what it says. There are warnings in Scripture, warnings to be ready, not for the baby Jesus coming, but for the grown-up Jesus coming again. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a great glory. Well, you've seen the signs, haven't you? Earthquakes, hurricanes, elections, global warming, poverty, Ukraine, Gaza, economic uncertainty, the decline of the church, violence in our schools, in our streets, the Argos not even in the Grey Cup. I mean, surely the world is coming to an end. How many signs do you need? So when the world comes to an end, then what? What's left? Well, when everything broken and corrupt finally fails, when we do everything that we can do wrong, what's left? Well, according to the gospel, Jesus. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Yeah, listen closely. When everything falls apart, Jesus will be there. And not because he's wrecking everything, no, but because he endures. Heaven and earth will pass away, it says, but my words will not pass away. You remember the Word became flesh? That was Jesus. So when the bank forecloses, there's still Jesus. God is still active and loving in the world, in what remains. When the election reveals some deplorable truths, Jesus is still there. God is still showing us a better way. When a loved one dies, there is still Jesus. God is still active and loving. You are not forgotten. You are not left behind. And when you've done everything wrong, there is still Jesus. God is still active and loving you. The world will pass away, but not Jesus. Not God's love for you. And that's not scary or dark, is it? Not if you're tired of being lied to by people in authority. No, that's not scary. Not if you want safety for your family. not if you're increasingly afraid of violence in the city where you've always lived, not if you're feeling cheated, not if you're feeling scared, not if you're feeling defeated by violence and poverty and corruption and disasters and tragedies. No. Oh, no, all of these things will pass away. That's good news. And Jesus will endure. God will remain. That's great news. Did you hear it? The scripture doesn't say that Jesus is coming to exact vengeance. It says that when everything falls apart, we won't be alone. When everything corrupt fails, it's not the end. When everything goes wrong, something will finally, ultimately, go right. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. I know, it's Advent, I'm not supposed to sing Christmas, but oh well. So what does that mean for us now? You know, other than an excuse for me to sing Christmas carols in Advent. What does it mean for us right here in 2023? Wondering if we should buy gifts or make donations to people and causes that really need support. Wondering if we should extend ourselves in this season of excess or be careful and frugal so that we don't fear the days and bills to come. And does it actually matter if the end is coming anyway? I mean, should we sit patiently waiting for the end to come? You know, taking care to be nice to people so we can stay on Jesus' nice list and avoid his naughty list? Or is that Santa's? No, to me, this story invites me into dreaming. It invites me to dream bigger dreams. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. No, actually bigger than that. I'm dreaming of a new red toboggan. No, bigger than that. I would love to be rich, bigger than that. I'd love to be done with all of the politicians. No, bigger than that. I'd love the Leafs to make the playoffs. No, even bigger than that. I'd love bigger than that. Whatever you're thinking now, bigger than that. I think that's why this is such an important way to start Advent. To start this season when dreams of commercial excess butt up against our dreams of kindness and understanding. You know, we find ourselves in malls filled with dream gifts, but we're also getting together with neighbors to sing carols, songs about Jesus, or find ways to help people in need. And there could be a real tension, right? I mean, should I buy that extra special gift for her, or maybe put $50 toward food for my neighbors? You know? Or gifts for people who don't feel particularly gifted this season. Oh, should this be a me season? Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I could use a me season. At least that's what Visa tells me. They tell me I should have a me season. Or is this the season of giving and caring for others in small ways, in multiple ways? I'm going to let you sort that dilemma out yourself as Advent unfurls. But the thing is, I just believe that we are always being invited by Advent to dream bigger than we've dreamed before. You can dream about getting along with your sister-in-law. No, listen, I know that the world says it'll never happen because she is too much of a, it's just not going to happen. That's what the world says. But the world will pass away. I heard that somewhere recently. You can dare to dream about an end to racism. I mean, the world says that's foolish, but the world will pass away. You can dream of an end to hunger. Again, the world will tell you that can't happen, but the world will pass away. And Jesus says that the hungry shall be fed. And Jesus is the one who's going to remain standing. You can dare to dream of an end to all war. And the experts, they'll scoff and they'll laugh at you. But the world, the way we do things now, the things we know, all of that will pass away. And Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Isn't that a dream? Yeah. You can dare to dream of forgiveness. I know Grandma Dorothy says that some people should simply not be forgiven. And society says that rehabilitation means bigger prisons. And some will tell you that, you know, what he did was unforgivable. But the world and all our forevers will pass away. And Jesus will endure. God will still be with us. Love will abide. And so all things are possible. Once upon a time here at Jubilee, we dreamed of a thing we called community table. A place to share food and nutrition right here at Jubilee. Help people, you know, in and out of the church to make connections with each other. Give community an opportunity to grow. Not a giant dream, but not a small one either. And you know what? It's one of those things that people keep asking, when's community table coming back? You know, now that we've sort of emerged from the drama of COVID and we've figured out a way to live and be together, people go, well, when's community table coming back? Well, later today, I guess depending on when you're listening to this, but later today I'm meeting with 10 people who want to make that happen. All of them want you to take responsibility for meals. And there were once two who ran the program. And now there are many who are ready to bring it back. Once upon a time, we dreamed of helping refugees find hope and a future in Canada. Some of you will remember it wasn't that long ago. And we raised over $100,000 to make it happen. And we found volunteers, and we practiced patience and love. And we helped 17 people find hope and safety in Canada. They rooted their lives here. Our friend Sherry, who came here 4 years ago, is now helping make meals for the African asylum seekers. You know, the ones who've been in our hearts for the last month? Yeah, Sherry, the one we helped, is helping them. And we kind of thought maybe we were done sponsoring refugees. But no, now we have another 10. But now we also have partners to make it happen. The dream gets bigger. We're beginning to think, you know, we're beginning to wonder what it would mean to be a place here at Jubilee where children from all over the neighborhood could take music lessons at a price that they can actually afford. And we're not dreaming about, you know, a dozen kids. No, we're talking 100 kids, maybe more. All of them coming to Jubilee to be part of community and engage in the arts. We're imagining satellites, other churches running programs designed by Forest Grove and then further nurtured by our combined efforts together. No small dream. No. But if we don't dream it, it's never going to happen. Right? And if we're going to make things happen, why not dream big? So often we're enticed into small dreams, okay? Dreams for a better car, a shinier present, you know, an end to the silent treatment. I'm not sure why we get sucked into those small dreams so easily. Maybe it's because deep down we believe that bigger dreams are foolish, and we hate to look foolish. Maybe we just simply need to be practical. And so, you know, after practical analysis, we gotta shrink that dream down. Maybe we don't feel that we're worthy of big dreams. But today's reading invites us to dream big. Knowing that the experts, the business leaders, the politicians, the religious leaders, the naysayers, the bullies, they don't have the last word. God does. It is God's word that remains when all else passes away. God's word is Jesus, dreaming that we can all be whole, that we can all love one another, that we can recognize and experience the very real presence of God in our regular lives. God's word is that there is another way to live. And God's word dares us to dream it too. God's word also says, it's okay to sing secular songs in church and even Christmas carols in Advent. Fa la 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 la. Or amen. Let us pray.
May the sounds of Advent stir a longing in your people, O God. Come again to set us free from the dullness of routine and the poverty of our imaginations. Break the patterns which bind us to small commitments and to the stale answers we have given to questions of no importance. Let the Advent trumpet blow. Let the walls of our defenses crumble. And make a place in our lives for the freshness of your love. Well lived in the Spirit. And still given to all who know their need. Dare receive it. Amen.
go forth from this moment and into the season of Advent. Advent is the time of waiting, but don't just wait. No, go forth and sing some Christmas carols. Smile at some strangers. Dare to dream big. And know that God, the Creator, is with you in your dreams. That Jesus walks with you, walks with us, and makes those dreams reality. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us, making this season a time of joy, a time of hope, a time of connection. Until we gather again in person or digitally, amen.